Welcome to our Gospel Truth radio broadcast. Today on our program, you're going to hear a teaching that I am using exclusively here on radio. This isn't on my television broadcast, but this is a teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar, and it's being played exclusively for our radio audience. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, so listen, and at the end of the program, you'll hear our announcer come on and share with you about how you can receive this very teaching that you'll be listening to today. She loved these people so much, she says, "Oh God, let me die with my friends." And she prayed. She was only 8 months pregnant, and her friends prayed with her. She went into labor and delivered the baby in prison, gave it to a friend of hers to raise so that she could have this honor of going out and dying with her friends. And here she was, and of course the Romans stripped them naked, and it's gory if I was to go into all of the details. But they put her in a net, and bulls and lions just tore her from limb to limb, and she was out there praising God and glorifying God. And she wrote a letter to her baby about how wonderful it was to know Jesus, and it's recorded in there. And we have those writings. And you can see the same thing in the Bible. You find that Peter, James, and John, the apostles, were beaten, and it says in the fourth chapter that they left the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. Paul and Silas were thrown into the Philippian jails. Their back was beaten, and they were in the stocks. And instead of crying and griping and complaining and, "Oh God, why did you let this happen to me?" they were singing songs at midnight because they loved God. And when their prison doors were open, they didn't leave because they weren't praising God to get something. They were actually praising God because they loved God. And when they were set free, they didn't even leave because they didn't have to get out of prison to be happy. I've talked to people in prison. There's a guy named Tock over in England that we've ministered to. He's in for two murders. And the man's been born again. And we go into that prison and minister, and Tock, man, loves God and is leading people to the Lord. And he's freer in prison than most of us are out of prison. He loves God. They're seeing revival in there. Matter of fact, they've had so many people born again, they had to build a new chapel because they can't accommodate all of the people. And that has become the largest prison in England because it has the greatest rate of nonviolence, and people's lives are being changed. And so they are expanding it. It's becoming the largest prison in England. And the chaplain got baptized in the Holy Ghost. The chaplain and the warden got baptized in the Holy Ghost at my meetings. And man, they're on fire, and there's revival happening. And it's the maximum security. So when these people get born again, they quit being violent, they're downgraded to a lesser deal, and they ship them out all over England. And when we were there just last month, the chaplain told us, says, "This week we've had two prisons contact us and say, 'Would you give us the materials, whatever it is that you're using? We want to get this results. We've seen these people come in.' And so we're shipping out our discipleship evangelism program, and we got that going all over England in prisons, and people's lives are being changed. Those people are happier. And you know, a lot of people will say, 'Well, we need to pray with you and pray that you can get out of prison.' You know what? If they had the opportunity to get out of prison, they'd probably take it. But those people are happy and praising God, and God is blessing them. I'm telling you, we've become so carnal that we have to have a $1 million home, and we have to have all of these things to be happy and content. And I'm telling you, if Jesus isn't enough to make you content, you got a bad attitude. Anybody miss that? Jesus is enough. And Jesus loves you, so he doesn't want you to live in a grass hut. He doesn't want you to live under a bridge. The Lord wants to take care of you. I'm not preaching poverty. I'm not preaching being sick. I'm not preaching being poor. But I am saying that Jesus should be enough. You know, the disciples, Jesus was talking to them the night before his crucifixion, and he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." He just said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And they said, "Oh, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." You know what he's saying is, "Jesus, we aren't satisfied with you. But if we could see the Father, if you could make the heavens open up, and if we saw God sitting on a throne in heaven, we'd be satisfied." I'm telling you, if Jesus isn't enough to satisfy you, you wouldn't be satisfied if you saw the heavens open up.
If getting your sins forgiven and knowing that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son and Jesus died for you, and if that isn't enough to make you happy, then you won't be satisfied if you get a $1 million home, if you get 10 cars, if you win the lottery, whatever it is that you're seeking after, it's not going to satisfy you. I'm telling you, salvation is about knowing God. This is what prayer ought to be about, is about knowing God and loving God and worshiping God. And we would be better off if we would just go to loving him. Now, again, I'm not saying that you reject healing and all of these things. God wants to bless you, and it's a tremendous testimony. You know, we had our sister down here. Which one was it? Was it you that was healed with your jaw, and she gave her testimony about how that, so she had had such a miraculous healing on her jaw, she didn't even think about the fact that her jaw is out of whack every morning when she wakes up. And then that word of knowledge came last night, and God just showed her that, you know what, he loves her so much, he doesn't want her to just get to where she looks okay. He wants to restore her back completely. Because of God's great love, I believe that yes, we ought to receive healing, and yes, we ought to receive prosperity, but all of those things should be a byproduct of relationship with God, not something that we use relationship to get these things. And this is where most Christians are living. And it's proven in our prayer life. When do you pray the most? When you're in need, when you need something. That's when you get serious. That's when you seek God. And I'm saying this in love, but you know what? That you're carnal. You aren't seeking God with a pure heart. If you were seeking God with a pure heart, it'd be like Jill's song. Man, your favorite thing to do is just to get alone with God and fellowship with God. And you'd love God. And when everything's good, you'd spend more time with God instead of less time with God. You know, I really resent having to sit there and ask for things because it's just an infringement on my relationship with God. I don't like to have to ask. Now, the scripture says you can ask and ask so that your joy may be full. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying it shouldn't occupy a lot of our time. It ought to be a very small percentage of your relationship with God. What eternal life is all about is God loves you. He didn't come as God who felt responsible and felt some degree of pity, and so he had to make some way to fix this mess that the human race got themselves into. No, God came because he loves every one of us passionately, and he wanted relationship with you. If there had been no heaven and hell, Jesus still would have died to bring you into relationship with him just during the brief time you're here on earth. You know what that does? That raises the worth and the value of every individual. If God Almighty thought that you were worth dying for, and some people may debate this, but I believe that if you were the only person alive, Jesus still would have come and died for you. He didn't just see billions of people as being worth his effort. He saw every one of you individually as being worth his effort. If you could ever understand that, if you could receive that, I guarantee you that would change your life to think that God Almighty loves you that much. This is what changed my life, March the 23rd, 1968. I got born again 10 years before that in 58. And I was serving God, quote unquote, to the degree that I knew how. I was 18 years old. But you know what? I was thinking I was pleasing God by my own effort. I was trying to earn God's favor. It's a long story. But in that prayer meeting, March the 23rd, 1968, God showed me that I was a religious hypocrite. I was trusting in my own goodness and just turned me inside out. And I repented. And for the first time in my life, I realized that I wasn't, all of my religious works were worth nothing. That just based on my actions, I'm talking about my self-righteousness, was an offense against God. It was a stink in his nostrils. I saw that for the first time in my life. I repented for hours. In front of all of the leaders of our church, I exposed myself. I made every vile thought and rotten thing that I'd ever done known to the whole world. I repented, and I fully expected God to kill me. And you know what changed my life? Is when I was at my very worst, and I finally got rid of my trust and my acceptance of myself. At that moment, man, a supernatural God kind of love came over me. And for 4.5 months, I was just overwhelmed. I was caught up in the presence of God. And I knew that God loved me. And I knew that it wasn't based on anything I did, because it came when I was at my very worst. I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand why a holy God would love me, but I knew that God loved me, and it changed my life. I've never gotten over it. It's been 41 years this last March. And you know what? I'm more in love with God. I'm still just overwhelmed with the fact that God would love me. I don't deserve God to love me. I hadn't done anything that God should love me for. Man, God's a good God. If you were to just, and I can tell you, when that happened to me, my life just flip-flopped. Nothing else became important. Nothing else. Everything paled in comparison. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying this in love, but I talked to a lot of people. I prayed with 40 people here tonight. I talk to people, I minister to people all of the time, and I can guarantee you the bottom line on most of the people who come to me with all of their problems is that you just don't know that God loved you. If you knew that God loved you, the Bible says, Galatians 5:6, that faith works by love. If you really had a revelation of how much God loved you, you would believe God. You would know that a good God who gave His Son to die for you, there is no way He's going to not give you healing. There's no way that He's not going to take care of you financially. God is a good God. It would just totally obliterate your unbelief and your fear. People are worried about the future. There are some of you that have been listening to the news, which is really the number one problem probably, is that we listen to the world rather than listening to the Word of God. And the world doesn't know God, and the world doesn't understand the love of God. And they're just speaking forth their fear, and we're plugged into the world. And so many of you are bothered about the economy when God has promised you He would supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did you know that fear, worry, is blasphemy against the promises of God? It's an insult against the love of God.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with this ministry and help us spread this good news. You know, there are many of you who do partner with us, and I want to thank you. We now are reaching over 2 billion people, potential, around the world. And it's only our partners that have enabled us to do that. But there is so much more that we want to do. There's so many people that haven't yet heard this good news. If this has been a blessing to you, if you see the benefit of this and understand how this could help other people, then I ask you to become a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Help us financially on a monthly basis to be able to reach out. We have partnerships available, a lot of information. If you'll call, you can inquire about that and become a partner with us today.